Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it. I can't hold it anymore.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Welcome to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to be with you. I normally am with you on Wednesday, but I was away in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm back home in Montana where the sky is big. The temperature is a little cooler, and we've got snow on the mountains. And I'm glad to be with you. If you want to be on the program, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was asked to join the program today, and I appreciate them letting me do that. I'd love to be able to just kind of hang out with you guys for an hour. Let's talk about some things that are going on. I did enjoy my time in Nashville. I lived there for 35 years, but it's changed so much. It got Atlantified. In fact, if Atlanta and Las Vegas had a love child, I think it would be Nashville. And the Nashville that I knew, I moved there in the early 80s, and that bless its heart, that Nashville's gone. And I miss people there, and I certainly miss Waffle House because we don't have one in our entire state out here in Montana. And I would love to have some hash browns scattered, smothered, covered, chunked, and diced, but out here we get them branded too while we're at it. If you want to be on this program, 866-34-TRUTH, we have a lot to go over today, and I want to spend some time with you on some things that are on my heart, pressing on the issues that are going on right now. But I want to start off with something from my Substack page. If you want to go out to caregiver.substack.com, I have a whole library of things out there. And every week I put out a new excerpt from my book, A Minute for Caregivers. And these are just 1 minute spots that I do here. I mean, just one minute chapters. You can read each one in literally 1 minute. I timed them all. It's so easy. You can read it in the bathroom. I know, because that's where I wrote it. Oh, I'm just kidding. My publisher, when I turned it into them, they'd say, well, we've never gotten a book submitted to us on a scroll. No, I'm just kidding with you. But I did write these because I know my fellow caregivers are struggling. And I host a weekly radio program on this network and others for family caregivers. I've been one for 4 decades. And the things that I talk about, the principles that I talk about for caregivers apply across the board. But I have such a heart for those who are putting themselves between a chronically impaired loved one and even worse disaster. We're doing it without pay. We're doing it without training most of the time. And so I write things to help strengthen and fortify those weary caregivers because I understand that journey. But the principles do apply across the board. And this particular chapter I felt like might be meaningful to this audience as well today. And it's called The Weight of Forgiveness. The Weight of Forgiveness is, and this is from A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. Words matter. All too often, however, words get bandied about with great sentiment but little thought. Of all the weighty words in our vocabulary, forgiveness seems one of the least respected. Victims of horrific crimes interviewed during a trial often weep while expressing forgiveness to the perpetrator. Many wounded parties feel pressured from others to forgive and forget, while others struggle with forgiving themselves. Well, what does forgiveness even mean? Have you ever struggled with that? What does that even mean to forgive someone? Forgiveness has weight to it, as well as intentionality. Forgiveness indicates respect for the offense or the trauma, while being willing to take your hands off someone else's throat. Forgiveness requires accepting that an offender will receive justice from someone other than yourself, through life consequences, the authorities here on this earth, or ultimately God. It's an act of faith to forgive someone. It's not an act of emotion, it's an act of faith. Forgiveness benefits the offended, not the offender, the offended. It does not require reconciliation. A lot of people think, you know, you can't forgive somebody unless they ask for it or unless they are repentant. No, you can forgive them no matter what they do. Forgiveness can be extended even if it's unsolicited. Remorseless criminals fill our prisons, yet victims can still forgive. Many care for abusive but impaired loved ones who are incapable of repenting and reconciling, yet those caregivers can still forgive. Resentment gnaws at our souls. As caregivers, we already bear enough. We can choose instead to walk in forgiveness and lose the grudges while keeping healthy boundaries. C.S. Lewis once said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." That's a great quote from C.S. Lewis. And I ask you all, I mean, we're in a kind of a cantankerous society right now where everybody's divided politically and there's a lot of stuff going on in our churches and everything else. And I'm asking you, are you struggling with forgiveness? Are you struggling with resentment? Are you struggling with extending forgiveness to someone who has wounded you? Wounded you deeply. And they don't even seem to be not only remorseful, but they may not even care, may not even be aware of it. But you're aware of it. What are you doing with that? How are you handling that? Are you able to be at peace with that and trust that incident, that trauma, to God? It doesn't mean you lower your boundaries. I don't even really particularly like that whole forgive and forget kind of thing. I don't go there with people. I remember. I try to just keep healthy boundaries, but I can release them to God because it is an act of faith. You're not saying it doesn't matter, because it does matter and it does hurt. But I love that phrase that somebody coined. I don't know who it was that coined, but you're taking your hands off of someone else's throat. That resentment can fuel this delicious rage within us that makes us feel powerful, because so many times our injuries that we receive make us feel weak. But what does the scripture say about that? I will boast all the more gladly my weakness, for in my weakness Christ's power is made perfect upon me. He could rest on me. He could be glorified in our weakness. That takes some walking out. That takes some trust in this. But this is what the scriptures teach us, that God ultimately has jurisdiction over this. The things that were done to you, do you trust God with them? Do you believe that He can exact what needs to be exacted out of this, whatever justice needs to happen? We can talk about that some more. 866-348-7884. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. And if you want to be on the program, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This section brought to you by a wonderful company that I ran into. It's called Peelaways. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who has a special needs daughter. And they were just so, you could just hear the fatigue that they were struggling with. I mean, it's so tiring. She has a lot of seizures and so forth. And I told her about this product. This daughter has just a lot of challenges. And I said, this is something that's amazing. It's just a fitted sheet, but it has built-in layers to it that are waterproof. Chucks in the hospital, that's what I call them. And they're perforated on either side, not at the bottom, just on either side. So if there's something happens, they have a problem, the kid has an accident or something like that, or you're taking care of your aging parent, whatever, spilling food, doesn't matter. Blood, it doesn't matter. It's all contained, and you just peel away that top layer. You got another one. You don't have to change the bed in the middle of the night. You don't have to do all that stuff. It makes it easier for being a caregiver, okay? And, you know, it's hard enough being a caregiver. So why don't you go out to my website, peterrosenberger.com. Under resources, you'll see where it says Peter recommends, and you can go right there, Peelaways. And if you mention my name, Peter, you'll get a special discount code as well. So please take advantage of that. It's hard enough to be a caregiver. This is something that's going to make your life a lot easier. I promise you it will. And while you're there, you can see all the stuff I had about the thing I talked about in the last block for my Substack page and so forth. This month, by the way, it is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And I have a young man who has been a friend of mine for many, 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 many years. I've known him since he was a teenager. He's now in his 40s. And his name is Aaron Tornquist, and he has Down Syndrome, and he's calling in to share his thoughts on the subject. So, Aaron, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, Peter.
I am so glad to talk to you, and thank you for calling in. I wasn't slated on the show today, and I did this at a little bit at late notice, and then you were able to come in at late notice as well, and I thank you for that. Aaron, I got to first ask you before we get any further, tell me about what's going on in the bowling world with you, because this is very important to you, and I want to hear what you've got going.
Bowling of mine is doing well and doing great at it.
Well, I saw a TV thing about you, I think last year, where you bowled a perfect game.
Yeah, that's what some people say about that. Yeah, people make big comments about that a lot.
Well, I mean, bowling 300 was pretty good, Aaron. I mean, that's usually my golf score. But that's impressive. Now, this other guy that you're in a tournament or something right now, that, and he just bowled, your dad said he bowled, what, 269, 270 or something?
Yeah, and his name is Kenny. Well, I don't remember his last name. His name is Kenny.
Well, how did you get into bowling?
Well, I started when I was a little boy, and I was living with my mom. And my mom used to be a bowler, but she taught me everything she knows.
Well, she obviously taught you very well.
Yes, she does.
I think that is marvelous. Now, tell me what else is going on in your life right now, and so what are some thoughts you'd like to say as we think about Down Syndrome Awareness Month? You know, you have been outspoken on a lot of issues about this topic and about protecting children with Down Syndrome that are in the womb. Tell me your thoughts on this.
Well, speaking about Down syndrome, I was watching the reunion show of Chris Burke, and he said himself, it's not our disability, it's our ability that counts.
Indeed. You are quite an accomplished, not only bowler, you also work very hard. You've been working as long as I've known you. You work all the time.
Yeah.
But you also are a very, very successful Elvis tribute artist.
Yes, I am.
I remember one time I asked your dad about that. I said, "Do you have a suit?" And your dad started laughing. He said, "No, he has suits." And
I got a couple. I got the Gone Girl Man suit, and I got the one my mom made, and I got a couple in my closet.
Well, and I've seen a few of them. I've seen 1950s Elvis. I've seen, and you've got, I think you got it from every part of his career. You had lots and lots of tribute items that you wear. You've been to Graceland. I think they know you, but you could probably give the tour at Graceland better than they could, couldn't you?
Yeah, I'll say that to you, yeah.
What are your thoughts as we are celebrating this month and bringing awareness to families with children with Down syndrome, and you're kind of an elder statesman now of this. What are some things you would like people to know about Down syndrome? Maybe it's a family that this is new to them. They've got a brand new child that's got Down syndrome. What do you want them to know?
I want them to know by the spectrum just like anybody else. And be grateful what kind of child they have, because those child can be gift into the world. Like my quote, when I said before, on we saw on Channel 5 News, I said, it doesn't matter who I am, only make a people can make a difference who they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some people with Down syndrome getting hurt, being bullied, it's not a right thing to do. Maybe if parents just start to treat their kids more differently, treat them with love and kindness.
Well, one of the things I've always admired about you, Aaron, and particularly the relationship you have with your father, is you guys are buds. I mean, you really are. You're friends, and your father has such a respect for you. And
he does.
and you as well for him, and you guys have enjoy life together, and it's really quite meaningful.
I remember that first time my dad said he'd get it the first time. My son's a wise man.
He did. He told me that many years ago. He said Aaron is a wise man, and he looks at you as such, and he looks to you for insights that you have that you know he doesn't have. I don't have. You've got them because you kind of live in a place of great wisdom. You see things. You ponder on things. You think about God. You have a prayer room that you have, and where you really you call it your war room. I think where you're a prayer warrior
now.
Well, you call it bedroom. And I know that you have prayed for Gracie many times, my wife Gracie many times, and you pray for a lot of other folks. What are you praying about before we go to the we just in the few more minutes that we have? What's on your mind right now that you're praying about?
Well, right now I've been praying for Brett Boyer Foundation because the country singer Luke Bryan, he had a niece named Sadie Brett Boyer, who died as a baby, has CDC. I've been praying for her.
Well, why don't we add her to our list as well? Aaron, I tell you what, can you hold on through the break? I'd like to finish this a little bit more. Is that okay?
Of course.
Sure. Hang on just a little bit. We're going to go to a break. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Truth Talk Live. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad that you are with us today. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. I'm continuing my conversation with Aaron Tornquist. And he is bringing us an understanding and awareness of what's going on with Down Syndrome. This is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. October is. And Aaron is... Aaron, how old are you now? 42?
I'm 46.
46? When did that happen, Aaron?
Well, my birthday was last August.
I met you when you were 13, Aaron. I'm getting old. That is.
I don't say that about yourself.
Well, everybody else does, Aaron.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed at you and of what you've accomplished in your life. You have such an enthusiasm about life that is very contagious. As I said in the last block, you're an avid bowler. I mean, this is not something that you just kind of do for fun. You're pretty serious about this, and you've had amazing success with it. You love Elvis. How did you connect up with loving Elvis so much? What was it about Elvis that drew you to you became a tribute artist for this?
Well, I have a resemblance to Elvis for a long time when I was a kid. And Elvis is one of my other type of hero I know. And he kind of spiritual man. He knows about searchers and how I become ETA, abbreviation for Elvis tribute artist. And I've been taking the stuff that Elvis been through, but I've gone through the same thing. Elvis and I, we both have the same DNA. We're both Scottish.
Now, when your dad is a very, 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 very good guitarist, and I've had the privilege of writing a few songs with him. Does he play a lot of Elvis tunes for you?
When I was a kid, yeah.
He doesn't do it anymore?
Well, he's doing his own stuff now. He's doing something else.
Well, every now and then he could play a little Jailhouse Rock, you would think.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, I appreciate the fact that you're such a prayer warrior. You take it very seriously to pray for people, and you are you're very serious about your faith. You're serious about the concerns that you have shared with me privately and on the program and other times that you've been on about what happens in our culture, the way they look at Down syndrome in our culture, and how many people choose abortion instead of having a child with Down syndrome. And this has troubled you greatly.
Yeah, it is. It is for me, because I've seen people out there in today's world feeling kids like calling wrong names. It's a certain thing you cannot say. You can't say the R word, the I word, or the S word.
And I'm grateful that you're doing that. You have shown such leadership. Do you find when other kids who are a lot younger than you, that you meet with Down syndrome, do they look at you as kind of a real leader to them?
They look at me and call me up. I'm their buddy.
I would imagine so. You certainly are. Well,
yeah,
you are,
the reason I'm taking this stuff seriously because I watched certain things on my emails from Tim Tebow. He was helping people with kids like Down syndrome not get hurt, not get bullied. You might have heard of him a lot.
I have.
And there's some other people I know who talks about Down syndrome people a lot. The people talking about Down syndrome people are people that have special needs, that have chromosomes, and they have metabolism. Some people learning to learn responsibility, can learn to be more independent, and they get helped by parents or guardians or anybody. Because Down syndrome for me is like seeing kids come up to me and being bullied, I say, tell those people, leave me alone.
Well, it sounds like you're very much empowering other folks who are dealing with Down syndrome and their families to be stronger, to be braver, to be more courage. They borrow some of your courage if they don't have enough for themselves, because you do have a lot of courage and you are a very strong, and your dad is right. You're a very strong and wise man.
And,
yes, I am. Yes, you are. And before we go, I'm going to let you go here in a minute, but is there a particular scripture verse that means something to you that you kind of keep coming back to that you think on a lot?
The scripture verse, I always go by, I don't remember what verse it was, Mark 11:25.
And what is that verse?
This is called forgiveness and prayer. It's something about if you hold anything against someone, forgive them, and the Father will forgive you for your sin.
That is a great verse. In the first block of this program today, before you came on, I was talking about forgiveness and how it's such a difficult thing for so many people, and yet Scripture speaks a lot about forgiveness. And you've had to forgive some people, and it's because you've been hurt, and you've walked in forgiveness, and you're gracious to extend it. And because if we don't, it just eats away at us. Those are, again, Aaron, your dad is right. You're just a wise man, and I love that.
There's
about
one
you.
Thing else I've been doing last. I did a fundraiser for the raising money for CZ Playhouse, the people who helping kids with Down syndrome, having fun, interact with people. And the fundraiser we did, and then donated money for the Britt Boyer Foundation, and then they need the money, and I did that last March. And I was about, there's a lot of things about what I did. I performed my Elvis performance for the first time. It was back in April 6th on a Saturday at Country Music Hall of Fame.
So you were able to raise some money for this?
Yes, I did.
And how did they like it when you got up and did your ETA, your Elvis tribute artist? Did the crowd go wild, Aaron?
Well, some people say Aaron Twerk was as resemblance to Elvis, because many Elvis were more alike.
I'm extremely impressed and proud of you, and thank you for reminding us of certain basic things in Scripture about forgiveness, about prayer, about treating others with decency and kindness and respect. And for families who are just new into this world of Down syndrome, that you offer such insight, hope, and excitement and joy, and it's a real privilege, Aaron. So thank you for taking the time to call in today, okay?
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Well, listen, I'll talk to you soon. Hug your dad for me, And we'll do this again, okay? Thank you. You've been a regular on my show for many years now, and I missed it last year, and I'm sorry for that. We were dealing with a lot of medical stuff here, but I'm glad we got back into the rhythm here, okay?
Yeah, I remember a couple of years back while I came to your place up in Nashville, I was sitting right next to you.
Yeah, you were in the studio, and you were able to take us to the break. And you were wearing, I think you were wearing your 1950s, Elvis, the black and white, the black pants and the white shirt with the black and white shoes.
Yeah, I do have a lot of bunch of new stuff. Black and white shoes called the 1950s Elvis shoes.
Well, you looked great in it. And I haven't seen you wear the one with the cape, though.
Okay.
I need to see that. I got to see that one. So next time I see you, I want to see that one on you because that's pretty sharp. But okay. Anyway, well, you have a great day, and thank you so much for calling, okay?
You're welcome.
All right, we'll see you. Aaron Tornquist in Nashville, Tennessee, and he is an amazing young man to talk about Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And I appreciate you all listening for that and look for ways to be a source of encouragement to families who are dealing with this, particularly brand new families with young children. It's a way for you and that family to benefit because we all grow and benefit when we extend the grace that has been extended to us from God and to let people know that this is not a punishment. This is not something to be shunned, but something to embrace in life. And Aaron lives a very full life, and he has a very exciting life. He has a lot of insights that are worthy of your time to listen to. So I appreciate you taking the time. Listen, before we go to the break, I want to tell you, we need legs. We need legs. We need lots of legs. Now, let me tell you what that means. My wife and I have a ministry called Standing with Hope that she founded after she gave up her prosthetic legs. And we can recycle prosthetic legs. If you'll go out to standingwithhope.com and see where it says prosthetics at the top, if you know somebody needs to donate a used limb, maybe a child that's outgrown it, somebody's passed away, we'll take it. And I'll tell you more about that when we come back from the break of what they do when those are donated, what happens with them, okay? This is Peter Rosenberger, peterrosenberger.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Truth Talk Live. This is Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH if you want to be on the program. And I was telling you about Standing with Hope. And we recycle prosthetic legs. Did you know you could do that? We can take a prosthetic leg. We can do arms too, but we focus mostly on legs. And they go to a prison in Arizona run by a company called CoreCivic. They're out of Nashville. And these folks have been for years, I mean, since 2011, working with us in a special program, a faith-based program, that inmates volunteer to disassemble the legs for us. We've done now probably 1,000 legs. And what happens is that they come in and you can disassemble the whole leg all the way down to the screw level. You got feet, you got pylons, you got knees, you got adapters and screws and all that kind of stuff. Now, you can't recycle the socket. That's the part that is custom fit to that patient. But everything else you can. And we can even grind out the adapter that's laminated into that socket. And then what do we do with all these things? Well, we send them over to West Africa. We've been working with the National Prosthetic and Orthotic Center in Ghana for almost 20 years. And at that clinic, they will take those parts and they'll build a brand new custom fit socket and use those recycled parts to put a new leg on someone. And if the foot breaks, well, you put a new foot on it because we can recycle those things. If you need to go a little taller, if you need a longer pylon, we grab another pylon, put it on. But the socket is what's important. That's what fits to that patient. And we purchase resin and we purchase carbon fiber and all those kinds of stuff. The same kind of legs that my wife wears. She's like, look, I'm going to put a leg on somebody that I will wear. And I love the verse that she has with this, Acts 3. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have I give. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And they do. and they go walking and leaping and praising God. It's pretty cool. You could go out and see more about that if you want to go out to that ministry site, standingwithhope.com, and you can find it also at peterrosenberger.com. It's all there. And I'll tell you the story. It's an amazing story that Gracie, when she lost her legs, when she didn't lose them, she gave them up. She was hurt so badly 41 years ago. She tried to keep them for years, and finally she just said, I can't live like this anymore. Take them off. They took the right one off in 91 and the left one off in 95. And she said, and after she started walking on quality prosthetics, she was watching and still in the hospital, she was watching a documentary from Princess Diana working with landmine victims in Southeast Asia. And she saw all these people that looked like her, amputees. And she's laying in a hospital bed, brand new, double amputee now. She's still got cast and bloody dressing and everything else on it. And I walk in, and she's laying there in bed, and she said, I know what I'm going to do. And I was like, I was a little bit startled. And I said, well, what are you going to do? She said, we're going to put legs on people and tell them about Jesus. And I said, well, do you suppose we could get out of the hospital first? And my wife is a force of nature. I mean, she is tougher than a Waffle House steak. And she purposed to do it. And guess what? We've been doing just that. And it's an extraordinary thing. And then many years later, CoreCivic came along to help us with this, because I was disassembling all these used limbs that we were collecting, and I was doing it in our garage. And it was getting, and then I would, in cold weather, I'd bring them in, I'd sit by the fire. I have legs everywhere. It looked like a freak show at our house. And I was so grateful that they did this. And so it's a great program, and they have a lot of faith-based programs, and I'd love for you to participate in this. I'd love for you to tell somebody about it, because we're always needing prosthetic limbs that we can recycle, particularly with kids. We need pediatric parts. So there are kids they have to get new legs all the time as they grow. Well, what do they do with those old legs? Well, we'll take them. So if you'll go out to standingwithhope.com and look under the prosthetics tab, it says donate a used limb. Please share that with others and let people know. It's a great way to give the gift that keeps on walking. And if you don't know of anybody with that and you want to get involved with what we do, we'd welcome that too. We have two outreaches with Standing with Hope. It's for the wounded and those who care for them. And maybe you know somebody who's a caregiver. Maybe you know somebody who is struggling. Maybe you're that person. Let us come alongside them and offer some help. At my website at peterrosenberger.com, you'll see a tab that says Caregiver 911. And if you don't know where to start, click on that. It's blinking right there. You can just click on it and go to it. I've got a starting place for you. I've got a library of stuff at my Substack page. All of this is available at peterrosenberger.com. I've got so many things that are there for the family caregiver, because I understand how difficult this journey is. Friends don't let friends caregive alone. It's isolating, it's heartbreaking, and all of the above. And if you don't know what to say to them, maybe you're a pastor, maybe you're a counselor, and you've got somebody in your congregation or somebody in your practice that's coming to see you, you don't really know what to say. I do. I speak fluent caregiver. As Christians, I feel like we have such a responsibility to reach out to those who are so discouraged and so despondent. Maybe they can't get to church. What are we doing about that? Are we going to them, or are we just waiting for them to come when things are better in their life and they can get there? No. Jesus said in Luke 14, go out there to the highways and byways, compel them, go and minister to people. You know, Jesus said very clearly, sick, naked, thirsty, hungry, prison stranger. And he's pretty serious about it. Are we doing that? There are people that you know that are around you, and maybe you're one of them, who are so discouraged. Go out to my site. Start there. It'll help, I promise you. I'm taking a lifetime of experience to offer a lifeline to fellow caregivers. And as we said in the first block, we talked about forgiveness, the weight of forgiveness, and how difficult it is. It starts with that. It starts with us unburdening our hearts with these things. I don't want to sound like Kamala Harris, unburdening what has been. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. That's been on my mind lately with the election season. But it starts with us learning to trust God with brutal things. And how do we know we can? Because we look to the cross and we see the Son of God beaten, humiliated, brutalized, bearing our sins. And we realize that's how much he loved us. And he not only took our sins, but he imputed his righteousness to us as we place our trust in him. And this is a game changer for us all. And therefore, by faith, we can do these things. By faith, we can forgive someone. By faith, we can care for someone who may not be in a position to ever say thank you. By faith, we can go into the most horrific circumstances with the hope of the gospel, with confidence. And we groan, and we may have big tears in our eyes, but we can point them clearly to Christ. Are you doing that? Can you do that? Do you know how to do that? If you don't, and you don't have the words, it's okay. I speak fluent caregiver. My book is called A Minute for Caregivers When Every Day Feels Like Monday. And you can get it. It's 1 minute chapters. And please take advantage of it. I have music out there. I have articles. And speaking of articles, I've got a, are you tired of this masculinity debate? What's going on in our country about toxic masculinity and all this kind of stuff? If you go up to my website under resources, Peter Recommends, no, under the blog spot, you can get a link to my new article out at Fox News about this whole masculinity thing in the context of what we're talking about here. The culture is driving way too much of this. And it's time for us as Christians to push back and start speaking with clarity and leadership into these things. I'm not going to listen to people who are lost and are raising their fist to God, try to give me counsel on these matters that Scripture has already spoken so clearly on. Okay? But we've got to be bold and be able to say these things. We've got to stand up and proclaim. Are we salt and light, as Jesus said? Are we salt and light to our culture? If not, why not? If so, what does that look like? And see what you think. Go out and read my article there that's in Fox News, and you can take a look and see what you think. See how I did. And you're welcome to contact me through that page. These are things that I feel very strongly about. I weigh into them periodically, all from the context of my journey. I've weighed into the whole transgender thing going on with children. But I did in the context of amputation, because once you amputate something of your body, you ain't coming back from that. And I have these kinds of dialogues out in the public square with this, and I hope to write more and do more about this, because I think that we have a responsibility as Christians to be leaders in this. And so I hope you'll check it out. There's a lot of things there at peterrosenberger.com. And I do appreciate you listening today, and thank you for joining me. I want to again thank Aaron Tornquist for coming on and sharing with us about Down Syndrome Awareness Month. And it's important that we be cognizant of families that are going through very difficult decisions. The most dangerous place, Aaron's father said this many times to me, the most dangerous place for a child with Down syndrome is in the womb. Did you know that? The abortion rate is like 90%+ if there's an indication that there's Down syndrome. This is what's going on. And we don't understand a lot of these things. We don't understand why God would allow certain things. But for us to murder in the womb, it is such an affront to God, and we have got to speak into this with our culture. And there's so much more information out there that you can find, you can speak to it, but let's be a source of encouragement. Let's come alongside these families. Let's help equip them with the courage to make these decisions, so not to end the life of this child in the womb. Okay? We can do this. We can do that. We must do this. We are compelled by Scripture to do this. These are things that honor God. For us to go into this horrifically broken world, this filled with sin, people are lost, and we're going to offer, point to the one who is truth, who is the life. Okay? That is our responsibility. That is our privilege, because that's what he did for us. This is Peter Rosenberger, peterrosenberger.com. Truth Talk Live. We'll see you next time.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.
Have you ever had to change sheets in the middle of the night? You ever had to deal with a spill or a mishap in bed, wound care issues? We've been dealing with that lately with Gracie's leg. She's got a wound that just does not want to heal up. Sometimes that wound just oozes, makes a terrible mess. Got to change the sheets. I've been looking around for a product to help with this because, you know, nobody ever told me when I was a caregiver that it involves so much laundry, but it does. Guess what? There's a company called Peelaways. P-E-E-L AWAYSPLOAS, just like it sounds. They're fitted sheets with built-in layers of chucks, you know, like liners they put in beds in hospitals. But they're built in. They're perforated on either side, not at the bottom, not at the top. So in case there's a mishap, you just peel it away, throw it away. You don't have to change the bed. It's that easy. It's that simple. I've tried it myself. I slept on them. They're very comfortable. And you think, this is just too easy. Caregiving's hard enough, so let's go with too easy, all right? Peelaways.com. Subscribe and save, and they'll send you one every month. You mention my name, Peter. Put it in the coupon code, you get a special discount. Peelaways.com. Life is hard enough as a caregiver. Here's something that's going to make your life a lot simpler. It did mine. Peelaways.com.